Devasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Text Number 18. Samsara,
samsara
chakra,
chakra
etasmin,
etasmin
jantur,
jantur
agyana
mohita
brahmyan
sukam
cha dukam
cha
bhunte
sarvatra
sarvada. Samsara chakra etasmin,
samsara chakra etasmin,
jantura gyana mohita,
jantura gyana mohita,
brahmyan sukam chatukam cha,
brahmyan sukam chatukam cha,
bhunte savatra sarvada,
bhunte savatra sarvada.
Samsara chakra,
samsara chakra,
in the wheel of material existence. Etasmin,
etasmin,
this
jantu,
jantu, the living entity,
agyana mohita,
being bewildered by ignorance,
brahmyam,
wandering,
shukam,
happiness,
cha,
and
dukam,
distress.
Cha,
also,
awesome.
Bhunte,
he undergoes,
sarvatra,
everywhere,
sarvada,
always.
What by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Deluded by ignorance, the living entity wanders in the forest of this material world, enjoying the happiness and distress resulting from his past deeds, everywhere and at all times. Therefore, my dear mother, neither you nor I am to be blamed for this incident. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 3.27, Prakrite Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvashaha Ahankare vimudatma kartahamiti manyate. The bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Actually, a conditioned soul is completely under the control of material nature, wandering here and there, always and everywhere. He is subjected to the results of his past deeds. This is carried out by the laws of nature, but one foolishly thinks himself the doer, which in fact he is not. To get free from the karma chakra, the wheel of the results of one's karma, one should take the bhakti mark, devotional service of Krishna consciousness. That is the only remedy. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sananam vrajaha. Manchakalpatadubhaischa kripa shindu bihibhacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. In the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, it is stated, Krishna boli se jiv anadi bahir muk ateva maya tare deha samsara duk. When one forgets Krishna, then he falls down into the material world or material existence, attracted by the external feature of the Lord. And that has happened since a very, very long time. Anadir, anadi bahirmukh, since time immemorial. So our problem is that we have forgotten Krishna. This is actually a type of disease. Tribir gunamayir bhavir, ibi sarvamidam jagat mohitams. Mohitam means by illusion. Mohitam nabijanati mamebya param avyayam. The difficulty is that we have become deluded into thinking in terms of this material body as the self. As long as we are on this bodily platform, holding on to the things connected with this body, we can't catch hold of the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. We have to let go. Just like there is a saying that you have to, if you want to get into the boat to cross over the material ocean, you can't keep one foot on the land and one foot in the boat. Sometimes people in the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness, they try to do this. It's like called hedging one's bet. Just like in gambling, if you hedge your bet and you think, I will keep some safety, so-called safety bank balance or safety attachments of various types. So if it doesn't work out, I can always jump back. But this type of attitude, just like we see amongst the servant, in the servant of Lord Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami had one servant, and he was now, Sanatana Goswami escaped from captivity, and he was coming to be with Lord Chaitanya. And because he had this servant who was keeping some money, you remember the story? Some gold coins? Sanatana Goswami's life was put at risk. At night he stayed in the home of one hotel person and they were going to kill him. The astrologer told that this person is carrying 8 gold coins. So knowing this whole situation, Sanatana Goswami handed over the money to the hotel man and said, take me across the dangerous jungles and mountains and take this money as an exchange. Still the man thought, you're keeping one gold coin. And when Sanatana Goswami realized this, he understood his servant had kept this. So he immediately told the servant, now go home. Go home. So, Dhruva Maharaj, you know, he performed many austerities in order to get a very big kingdom. We see so many times people do austerities, just like the materialists are like that. They work very hard. When we go out on Sankirtan and we meet business people, they're working very hard. Therefore, they're called mudhas, because they can work as hard as a donkey, an ass. But just like a donkey or an ass, they're working for what? Just something to eat. So when Dhruva Maharaj was also doing austerities, for what? The same business, actually. He was trying to get a big kingdom, bigger than his own father or grandfather's kingdom. But Krishna tricked him. Not Krishna exactly, but Krishna's devotee. The devotees of the Lord are very tricky. That is why Hiranyakasipu warned the teachers of his son, Prahlad, that beware of the teachers, the Vaishnavas. Beware of the Vaishnavas who may come in disguise and cheat my son. Because even Hiranyakasipu, a big demon, knew that the Vaishnavas are very tricky people. You see, for the promise of so many things, they will promise anything, but ultimately they will deliver only one thing. In this way, they cheat people. Just like Srila Prabhupada was such a big cheater. He came and he cheated us. I had no idea that I would have to give up everything. Prabhupada never said that. He said, you don't have to give up anything, just add Krishna. You know, but the more you add Krishna, the more somehow you give up everything. It's like that. You can't add Krishna and not give up things, because it's an offense against the holy name to maintain material attachments. So, when Dhruva Maharaj was tricked by his guru into chanting a mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and he was chanting this mantra to Vasudeva, who is Krishna, saying, I offer my obeisances unto Krishna, then when the Lord appeared before him, Dhruva Maharaj suddenly realized, what a fool I am. I was trying for some kingdom. And now I realize that that entire kingdom is no more valuable than broken bits of glass compared to the beautiful darshan of the Lord, compared to the association of the Lord. So, unless one is free from the lusty disease of the heart, it is very, very difficult to overcome the threefold miseries of life and the effects of the modes of material nature. This fact is explained by in the Bhagavatam, in the beginning of the 10th canto. The 10th canto is, of course, all about Krishna's personal dealings, his personal pastimes. All of the first 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam, they are preparing us to appreciate that Krishna is not an ordinary person. Just like when I used to first go to see Srila Prabhupada, whenever I would enter into Prabhupada's room, Prabhupada would say to me, just become convinced that Krishna is God. Or sometimes he'd say, are you convinced that Krishna is God? And I used to think, why is Prabhupada asking this? You see? But then gradually I could understand that to really be convinced that Krishna is God, you have to know all about Krishna's potencies. You have to actually understand how Krishna creates the material world, how Krishna maintains the material world, how Krishna destroys the material world, how the different incarnations are coming from Krishna, how Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna is the source of all of these incarnations, how Krishna maintains the universe through his various representatives, the Manus, the fathers of mankind, the Ishvaras of different types, like Indradev, Suryadev, and how ultimately Krishna tries to deliver the conditioned souls. He sends especially his devotees, and he himself personally comes. So how all of these incarnations are emanating from Krishna, all of this has to be understood. And therefore, those who are serious devotees make a careful study of first Bhagavad Gita, which is the preliminary science of Krishna consciousness, and then gradually studying Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning with the first canto. It is interesting how the Srimad Bhagavatam is constructed. It's not just a string of stories haphazardly put together. There is every bit of reasoning behind the placement of each of the narrations. Just as we see in the first canto how Srila Vyasadeva has put in he begins by describing what happened at the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra. Bhagavad Gita was spoken during the Battle of Kurukshetra, and at the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra is where the Srimad Bhagavatam begins. Because the Mahabharat, which the Bhagavad Gita is the, you know, jewel within the Mahabharat, it more or less brings one to that point, and then begins at least Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the son of Drona trying to kill the Pandavas and their grandson Parikshit Maharaj in order to take revenge on them for killing his father Dronacharya and for defeating all of the armies of Duryodhana, and how Arjuna defeated the son of Drona, and then how gradually Yudhisthira began to rule the earth, and how Parikshit Maharaj was born. And then, what happens? Dhritarashtra is seen to disappear. The father of all of the Kurus, he leaves this world. And after that, we see the disappearance of Lord Krishna. The Bhagavatam begins by the disappearance of Lord Krishna. It's a very unusual thing. And the birth of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj is glorified. He will be like this. He will be such a great king. He will be equal to Yayati. He will be equal to Rantidev. He will be equal to Arjuna. He will be equal to Puru. And it goes on and on, more or less telling us all of the different narrations that are going to come in the later cantos. by describing that this person, Parikshit Maharaj, to whom the Bhagavatam is going to be spoken, he is as good as the representative of all these people. So it foretells all of the stories which are going to come later. And then Krishna disappears, which is unusual, because if Krishna is the hero of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which he certainly is, it's not a very ordinary thing that you begin, you see, a book by saying how the hero has left. Isn't it? Very unusual. I mean, either you shouldn't tell it all. In fact, according to the laws of Sanskrit drama, the hero never should die. So how is it possible then that Vyasadeva could violate such a basic principle? You don't start a story by telling how the hero died, because then the story is over. But there's a very good purpose for this, because this hero doesn't die. This is the reason. Because this hero is eternal. He is never dying. He is beyond birth and death. He doesn't take birth and he doesn't die. And that gradually has to be understood. And so the whole Bhagavatam comes after this principle and shows how Krishna is eternal, how Krishna is supreme. So in the 10th canto, when it finally comes up to the 10th canto, after all 9 cantos, the 10th canto comes like a brilliant jewel. The Bhagavatam is like a wonderful necklace. And inside the necklace is that jewel of the 10th canto, which is what Prabhupada translated in summary form as, what? Krishna book. Are you all reading Krishna book? Do our bhaktas and bhaktins read Krishna book? Yes or no? When? When you're drinking banana milk at night? Prabhupada gave his formula. At night you can drink banana milk and hear Krishna book. Bedtime stories. So, Prabhupada gave us this Krishna book, which is the sum, you know, the summation, the pinnacle of the whole Bhagavatam. And at the beginning of that Krishna book, at the beginning of the 10th canto, it is described how those who want to become released from the material activities of lust, you see, which is, you know, burning within the heart. They have to hear and sing the wonderful glories of the Lord. Nivritta tarsher upagiyamana bhavo sadat shrota manho biramat ka uttama shloka gunanuvarvat puman virajeta vina pashuganat. These activities of the Lord, hearing about the beautiful pastimes of Krishna, are attractive to everyone, you see. And everyone, except those who are butchers, or in other words, those who are killing their own personal existence. So it is called Bhavosadach. In the last year, Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse very, very often. It's from the 10th canto, first chapter, text 4. He quoted this verse very often because Prabhupada was ill in the last months of his life. So he kept saying, give me that medicine which will cure me. Give me that medicine which will cure me. Now what was the medicine that he wanted? What is this bhavo sadach shrota manho biramat? That medicine which can cure all material diseases. He said, chant the holy name of the Lord. Let me have that medicine. I want that medicine, which by taking it, it will cure all my material desires. So this is the holy name of the Lord. And the holy name of the Lord is so potent that we see that just by even one time chanting, like Ajamil did, it can cure one of more sins than one is capable of committing in one's whole life. Ajamil was very sinful. He killed, murdered people, stole, set fire to people's properties. I mean, he did every kind of abominable activity that we would not even think of. And he said, Narayan, and poof. All that karma, you know, dried up. Aparabdha parabdha phalam. This verse comes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Aparabdha phalam papam kutam bijam phalan mukam. There are different kremanaiva pradyeta Vishnu bhakti ratatmanaha. Vishnu bhakti ratatmanaha. When you do devotional service to Krishna, it will dry up the sinful reactions to all kinds of sins, aparabdha, that which has not yet commenced. We are suffering now, the sins that we are suffering now, they are already manifesting, but there are many sins which are not yet reacting. We are not yet getting the results of them. This is called aparabdha. Prarabdha means what we are now suffering from, the past sins. Aparabdha means those things which we have done in the past, which we're not getting reactions from. Then what else? Kutam and bijam. Kutam means that these things which are stored up within us, sinful activities that I have done in the past that are stored up, but they're going to come up. And bijam, that are lying in seed form. Maybe I have not even committed them yet. So it is mentioned in the Padma Purana, Rupa Goswami cites this verse to say that when you do devotional service to Lord Vishnu or Krishna, it annihilates all these different stages of sins. And this was demonstrated by the example of Ajamila. So in this age, when people are so sinful, Jagai, Madai, Papi, Chilo, Hari Nama Udarilo. Narottam Thakur has sung this Jagai Madai Papi Chilo. This Jagai and Madai were Papi Chilo. They were full of pap, full of sin. But Hari Nama Udarilo. Therefore, in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Kali Kalera, Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtana. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tapar Pravartana. What is the method of delivering Krishna consciousness in the Kali Yuga? Nam Sankirtan. Kali Kali Yuga Dharma, Namir Prachar Tate Lagi Pita Varna Chaitanya Avatar. Lord Chaitanya has come in a golden form with the purpose of giving the Yuga Dharma. Hari Nama Sankirtan. Because no other Dharma will be effective when there's so much sin. In other ages, just like there is yajna. Now, how can you do yajna when you're full of sin? Who is qualified to do yajna? A Brahmin? Only a Brahmin. Samodamantapasocham. Look at the qualities of a Brahmin. He's very self-controlled, austere, very knowledgeable, and he can do yajna. So what was possible in Treta Yuga? Yajna. Where are such qualified Brahmins today? When they try to do yajnas nowadays, there's so many mistakes and ineffective. Samskars, different types of purificatory ceremonies, which are part of Varnashram, they're not very effective. Therefore, the Goswamis have recommended, just like Garbhadana Samskar. Garbhadana Samskar means purification of the womb. When a man and woman get married and they want to have a child, there's Garbhadana Samskar. But what did Prabhupada do? Again, he cheated everyone, as always. Prabhupada cheated again. What did he do? He said the best Garbhadana Samskar is you chant 50 rounds if you want to have a baby. So every time Prabhupada gave effort, just like we did deity, pran pratishtha, bringing the deity, right, calling the deity for installation in Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, Prabhupada said, get the best Brahmins from Vrindavan and have them chant all the mantras. And they were all there. They were chanting the mantras. And Prabhupada kept saying, is there a kirtan party there? He told us on his side, just make sure the kirtan party is there. So then after he said, actually, all of the Brahmins are there so that others will be satisfied. But the actual installation of the deity is performed by the Harinam kirtan. The actual purification of the womb is done by the chanting of the holy name. In other words, in the Kali Yuga, there is only one samskar. And that is Harinam. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalua Nasteva, 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 Katir Anyata. So why are we then pushing Sankirtan so much? It becomes clear. Because there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ordered, Yare Deke Tare Kaha, Krishna Upadesh. What is Krishna Upadesh? The instructions of Krishna. Krishna Upadesh. And Prabhupada says these instructions come in two forms. One is what Krishna himself spoke, Bhagavad Gita. And the second is what was spoken about Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam. Then who? To whom? Amara Gari Guru Hari Tar Edesh. You all become gurus. Here we are. We are making bhaktins into gurus. You see? People say, is it possible that only men are gurus in your movement? No. We say, no, women can also become gurus. Well, we don't see any women gurus. I say, yeah, there's so many women gurus. What do you think a devotee on Sankirtan is? Don't you think he's a guru? According to the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? You become a guru. And what is this? What is the activity of a guru? Wherever you go, whoever you meet, you speak to them the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, not only do we make women gurus, we make bhaktins into gurus. This is our response now to those who demand equal rights. Our bhaktins have become gurus. How? Because they're giving Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Wherever they go, whoever they meet, they're distributing this knowledge of Krishna. So actually this is guru. Vartman Pradarshika guru means the person who first shows the way. So at least the devotees on Sankirtan are assisting in this way. They're giving the books, which is the first light that someone gets when they receive a book. If they have some Agyata Sukriti stored up, then the books will, you know, begin to talk to them and instruct them. Huh? The books can talk. There's a very nice, I received one biography. Prabhupada recites the story of Lala Babu. You remember in which book is it?
Nectar
Devotion. Prabhupada talks about Lala Babu. Lala Babu was a big, big rich man from Calcutta who became a great devotee of Krishna in Vrindavan. So Lala Babu, one of the things that he built a temple at one point. And when he built this temple, he installed the deity of Radha Krishna. So he was thinking, I want to see if this deity is really alive. So in the middle of January, when it's very cold in Vrindavan, he told the pujari, you put some butter on the head of the deity. So the pujari thought, Lala Babuji, why are you asking me to put butter on the top of the deity's head? He said, just do it. I want to see something. So what was in his mind is that if this deity is alive, the butter will melt because his body will be warm, because life means there will be warmth within the body and the butter will melt. So anyway, the pujari put the butter there and he was watching very carefully and slowly the butter started to melt, even though it was freezing cold enough to keep that butter very firm. Then he became so happy he fell down in ecstasy. And then when he came back, he said, I still want to see more. He said, take some cotton and put the cotton next to the deity's nose. I want to see if this cotton moves. So the pujari put the cotton there, and the cotton started to move back and forth. Again, he fell down in ecstasy. So then the deity did the talk. The deity came to him and told him that, you have built this temple for me. He said, but I want another temple. He said, but I've spent all my money building this temple. He said, no, I want another temple. I'm not satisfied with this temple. He said, but I have nothing left. What am I going to build this temple with? He said, I want you to build a temple in your heart because I want to come in there and stay there forever. So then Lala Babu had to think, how am I going to get the wealth to build such a temple? And the most difficult thing of all things is he had to give up any kind of false desires, especially for anger and for pratishta, for followers, and all such things. So he finally thought to himself, what is it that is stopping me? What is blocking me? And he thought that there was one competitor, wealthy person, who he had fought with over some property, who also had built a big temple, a Rangaji temple. And he thought that this person I have always been fighting with and I'm keeping some anger within my heart. So he went and begged of his enemy. You see. And he was standing out there with a begging bowl. Actually, even though he was so wealthy, he used to beg alms every evening. So he begged. He was out there and the man's servant came and said that amongst the beggars, Lala Babu was there, your own political enemy. And the man came out and he saw Lala Babu. But before he came out, he said, bring silver, bring all jewels. I want to give him everything. because he could understand that this person is so humble that he has come like this. But Lala Babu said, "What? This is not what I want. I have come for bhiksha. I have come to beg you just for alms. Give me a little rice from the plate." And he said, "Actually, I give you my life." He said, "Just by seeing your humility, I'm giving you everything." And he had always wanted to get initiation, but his guru had always told him, "You don't have the qualification." So after this, he immediately met his guru and he said, "Now you are ready to be initiated." So, Krishna wants to come into the heart. Krishna wants to sit down in the heart. But Prabhupada said, we have to develop the proper qualification to bring Krishna within our heart. So this medicine that is going to, right now the heart is burning. Okay? It's not a fit place to bring the Lord. It is burning with lust. Rit rog. Listen. Just like when Rupa Goswami had a dream, or when Madhavendra Puri had a dream, the deity said, "I've been buried here and I'm hot. Cool me down." So right now, there's a blazing fire in our heart. Do you think that it's going to be a very nice sitting place for the Lord? We have to cool it down. So what is the thing that will cool down? Nitai padakamala koti chandra sushitala. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are more cooling than millions of moon rays. So we have to take shelter, therefore, of Sri Sri Gaurinitai. And this will cool down the fire. Here it is mentioned, samsara, in this verse, the samsara chakra. You know, Sudarshan chakra is blazing, isn't it? Here's another blazing chakra, the samsara chakra, the blazing wheel which spins around of birth and death. So we have to cool that down. And how? By taking shelter of Sri Sri Gaurinitai. When Srila Prabhupada came and saw Sri Sri Gaurinitai, who were established in Atlanta, he began to sing the song, Nitai Padakamala. You want to sing? He began singing Nitai Padakamala. And he couldn't sing the song. He was looking, just like we can look, and he was looking. But what he saw and what we see are not the same. Because Prabhupada's heart was so soft that when he saw Gaurinitai, he could not sing. Because he said, "These lords, Sri Sri Gaurinitai, are so merciful," and he could not speak anything. He saw how kind and merciful they were to come into this world. Krishna himself, who is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme lord of all lords, he has come into this world to do the business of cleaning the heart. He has come into this world to deliver the most fallen conditioned souls. Therefore, patita pavana hetu. He is described most merciful of all the avatars. He has come into this world along with Nityananda Prabhu. And the devotees of the Lord are similarly described. So merciful. In the seventh canto, Prahlad Maharaj says, Navo dvijapara duratyaya vaitaranyas tvat virya gayana mahasarmita magna chitaha so cheta to vimukta cheta sa indriyartha maya sukaya varam udvahato vimudan. This verse is very, very important for our Sankirtan movement. Because it describes the position of a great devotee. Prahlad Maharaj is taking the position of the Sankirtan devotee. And Prahlad Maharaj is telling Lord Nrisimhadev that, "My dear Lord, I have no difficulties for myself. It is not difficult. Because I'm always engaged in chanting and distributing your glories. So I feel no difficulty in this world. How?" And rascals who are bereft of Krishna consciousness. Indriyartha, who are absorbed in sense gratification. Maya Sukaya, the temporary illusory happiness. Baram, they have taken on a false burden of responsibility. What is that? For maintaining family, for maintaining society, for maintaining nations, and all kinds of elaborate arrangements. And it is all a false thing for which they have no good reason at all to do so. Elsewhere in the Bhagavatam it is mentioned that anyone who surrenders unto Mukunda, giving up all such false conceptions, he's not in debt to anyone. In other words, Krishna says in the Gita, if you surrender unto him, that he will protect you. Prabhupada quotes this verse here, Sarvadhanam Paritya Jamamaikam Saranam Braja Aham Tvam Sarvapapyu Muksya Sami Masucha. If you surrender unto Krishna, he'll protect you from all sinful reactions. Normally, it's your duty to look after your father, to look after your mother, to look after your family members, to do so much for society. But Krishna says that if you surrender unto me, giving up everything, that I will protect you from sinful reaction. Now, if someone criticizes, well, what's going to happen to all your responsibilities? Krishna says, I will protect you from all sinful reactions. What does that mean? Krishna says, I will fulfill them. Not that they will go unfulfilled. Not that your family will be unprotected. Not that society will be neglected. Krishna says, I will do it all on your behalf. If you just let go of all such so-called responsibilities. So Prahlad Maharaj says, I am in anxiety because people are not letting go. They only think this is all there is. As Prabhupada summarizes, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And what is the result? They don't take advantage. They don't take advantage of Gaya Mahamritam, the chanting of the transcendental glories of your lordship. They never take advantage. So I am simply lamenting for such vimukha chesaha, for such fools and rascals. And I am trying to make some plans. What are those plans? Those plans for how to deliver them. Vimudan. He says, Utvahata vimudan. I am making grand plans for delivering them out of this material world. So this verse, which Prabhupada often refers to, is the example which our Sankirtan devotees should meditate upon. We are fortunate. We have Mahaprasadam to eat. We are fortunate. We have beautiful kirtans. We are fortunate. We have very beautiful deities to see. We are so fortunate. We have Guru and Vaishnavas to take shelter of. But these poor fools have nothing. Nothing. And Prabhupada wrote me a letter and he described the poet Vidyapati has written that people think that they have so much by their family, friendship, and society. But what is the value of such family, friendship, and society? A drop of water in the parched desert of my heart. Vidyapati is a great poet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to listen to his songs. He says that all of the happiness coming from family, friendship, and society is like a drop of water to my parched, desert-like heart. So when we go out and we see the conditioned souls, we must think as Prahlad Maharaj thinks, how they are suffering. And I do see that when you go on an airplane, and my main association with the karmis is on airplanes. Because otherwise, I go from one temple to another, and I immediately become cloistered inside the guru quarters, where every wall has a picture of Krishna, where everyone who walks through the door has tilak on, where everything that enters my mouth is Mahaprasadam. So when do I get the opportunity to observe these karmis, these vimudhas? On the airplane. And it is pathetic. It is so pathetic to see how they are being, you know, given one course of sense enjoyment after the next. Right? From the moment they take off, they give them such nice, you know, little kit with a nice toothbrush, you know, and slippers to put on your feet, and some, you know, eau de cologne, you know, so you can think that everything is sweet-smelling in the plane. And then they begin with the drinks, and everybody starts intoxicating, you know. And then comes on the lady saying, you know, we're going to, in case, if there's any difficulty, put on the, you know, mask, And if there's really any difficulty, you know, you'll find a flotation cushion under the... But she's doing it with such a big smile. And then they show how it looks. In case there's any problem, you can have a nice, you know, slide out of the plane. You know, and they show some people as if they're in a kiddie park, you know, on a slide. You know, never mind that the plane is in flames, right? That the people's bodies are all scorched. If you're even lucky that you haven't been blown into pieces. And if that doesn't happen, you know, still they go on with the sense enjoyment. The movies come on, the meat comes on, and one thing after, and people are in such a stupefied condition that they think this is such happiness. I'm traveling first class, I'm traveling business class, or whatever the class you're traveling. And this is the way the world goes. When you actually evaluate what is the joy of the materialist, oh, it is very much suffering. It is not at all pleasure. So our Sankirtan devotees have to bear this in mind. They have to see with Shastra Chaksu, right? With the eyes of scripture. If you see with the memory that you have from the past, then you may start to lament. Oh, did I do the right thing? By joining Krishna consciousness, because you'll see a boy and girl walking together and you'll think, I could have also had a girlfriend or boyfriend. Or, you know, you'll see someone with, well, whatever you may see, but you'll think, this could have been me. If you see with these senses, if you see with your mind, you will see in the wrong way. Because we are conditioned, anadya bahir muk, since time immemorial, we have been conditioned to think of ourselves as the center of pleasure, the, you know, shelter for all sense objects to come in, instead of seeing ourselves as servants. So we have to see with scriptural eyes. What does that mean? To know that behind every girl there is a red hot, you know, iron form of that woman waiting for you. Behind every good-looking man there is a red hot, naked iron form of that man waiting for you. In other words, we should understand that when they're so in so much enjoying that embrace of the opposite person, what is waiting for them? What are the reactions to each and every sinful activity? You have to see. That means Shastra Chaksu. And therefore, Divyagan, transcendental knowledge, the spiritual master gives this knowledge, and Prabhupada's books give this knowledge. How else will people get such knowledge? Where else will they find this knowledge? And we're giving them these books. So Prahlad Maharaj's mood is like that. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is so important to us. He's so important to us. From the beginning, Prabhupada told us to pray to Lord Nrisimhadeva, which means to take shelter of Prahlad Maharaj. Praying to Lord Nrisimhadeva means taking shelter of Bhakti Prahlad. Because he has this mood of tremendous compassion. Tremendous compassion. And the more you consider another's needs, the more you will automatically look after your own needs. So, Sankirtan is the prime benediction for humanity at large. It is the prime benediction for we ourselves. Prabhupada was so much beating the Brihat Madanga. In the final days, Prabhupada was still translating the Bhagavatam, and he said that the anti-cult people were active, you know, and they were always trying to get Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, they're actually trying to catch me. He said, but I have evaded them. And still the old man is sitting here in his room and he is beating the mridanga, and that vibration is going all over the world. Prabhupada in the final days was still translating his books. And he said, I am beating the mridanga in my final days. He said, they still can't stop me. And the vibration is going over all over the world. So these books are the most important gift of Prabhupada to the world. His mission is especially to translate, make, publish, and to distribute these Vedic literatures. And anyone who takes this responsibility up is so much dear to Srila Prabhupada. So much dear. And to be dear to Prabhupada is guarantee of your spiritual life. It is guarantee of your success, your advancement in Krishna consciousness. So, you know, we can just say that we should always keep focused on this point of Sankirtana book distribution, because this is the way for the devotees to be assured of advancement in spiritual life. You should know that this activity of book distribution is not some temporary activity that you do for a certain number of years and then you graduate to something else. So you should always think, this is the best service I can do for my guru. Because all of us are disciples, all gurus are disciples of Prabhupada, and they know that the easiest and best way to please Prabhupada is by pushing Sankirtan. So all the grand disciples, if they assist their spiritual masters in this way, they get so much mercy and blessings from their guru, who is receiving so much blessings and mercy from Prabhupada. And Prabhupada also will directly bless you. Prabhupada wrote to me that when you push this Sankirtan, he said, my Guru Maharaj will shower his blessings upon you. Shower his blessings upon you. So, let us see how to run this marathon. Huh? Now you're in a marathon, but I think real marathon is, you know, how to go back to Godhead. And the best way to run it is you're going to have to run. Marathon means long distance. It's not just for 2 weeks or 1 month. You have to make a plan how you're going to go your whole life. So you should think, how will I serve the Sankirtan mission my whole life? Somehow or other, I have to stay engaged in Sankirtan activities. Let us stop here and ask if there are any questions. It's very good that you distributed 518 books, because the temple that I joined was also with the number 518. I always think that's my lucky number. 518 Frederick Street was the address of our San Francisco temple. So when I heard that you distributed 518 books, I immediately became very happy. Yes, what is your question?
My question is also about these times, and especially your offerings also for build up the Dhammapada Sankirtan party. And in these times, so many people on the street joined immediately in this party. Hmm.
First of all, you should understand that at that time, when we began this Radha Damodar party, actually the party was already there, but it was only 8 devotees, and they did practically Sahotra Swami. He was a member of the original party before I came to join them. And there were only 8 people. And only Sahotra Swami and one or two others were distributing books, a few books. They would go in a van and travel and distribute books. So the big leading book distributors were, you know, Australian BBT. They had a very big Sankirtan party. Los Angeles had a very big party. And the Los Angeles BBT had a big party. So we could not compete. So I thought that the only way we're going to compete is that we're going to beat them by numbers of people. We're going to make so many devotees that they will be defeated. So, first of all, people did join, that's true, on the street. But the main thing is two things. One thing, that when we preach to people, we preach with great absolute conviction that the material world is rotten, that you are in a rotten condition, that Krishna consciousness is wonderful, and that Krishna consciousness is the only thing that is going to actually help you and help the world. In other words, we preach with absolute conviction, without making any compromise in what we spoke. We were very, very heavy and forceful. I told Harinamananda Navina last night that we were so confident. One time we came to, I came from Florida, which is the southern part of the U.S., to New York because they had a good Sunday feast and I knew there would be many people there. And I took the president's permission. I said, whatever devotees I can make here, let me take with me. Actually, the first year we made all the devotees because nobody was making many devotees in America. People were coming in the temple for years and nobody ever thought to ask them to join. Of course, after we did this for 1 year, nobody gave me permission again the next year, because they all realized that this we could have got these people. But anyway, I bought 5 airplane tickets to return to Florida in the airport before I went to the temple. And I kept the tickets, and I gave the Sunday lecture, and I held up these 5 tickets. And I said, I got 5 tickets. It was freezing cold in the winter, the dead of winter in New York, you know. And I said, I got these 5 tickets to Florida. We're in Florida. What is the name of that place where we were in that, where I forget the name of that beach, but there's a famous beach in Florida where, I didn't forget. But anyway, that's where we were parked. I said, I got these 5 tickets, and the first 5 people who want these tickets should come up, and you can get them and come with me. And then I explained a little bit. I cheated them, just like Prabhupada cheated. You know, that you'll have a feast every day. You don't have to do anything. You just come down here and be with us. As long as you can stay for 1 month, the ticket is yours. You know? And I said, now how many people want this after the lecture? Many people raised their hands, and I had different people in the audience, our devotees, to go and talk with them. Then I interviewed them in the president's office one by one. I picked the best 5 people. And we went, you know, and it wasn't easy to get them out that night because I had to leave the next morning. We worked all night. Some of them had girlfriends, you know, that were practically, you know, they couldn't believe what was happening. We had to fight with their girlfriends, fight with the parents. And by the morning, we got in the car and we went to the airport and all with the 5 people and we went back to Florida. So there was so much conviction that Krishna consciousness is wonderful. And the material world is lousy, terrible place. And this, you know, people, after all, when you call the thing what it is, when you call a spade, when you hit the nail on the head, if someone is genuine, they'll admit it. If they're not genuine, then we're not interested anyway, they're not ready. But if you speak the truth to someone, it will touch the inner part of their heart, it will touch a chord, you know, a sensitive nerve, and they will respond. But if you always try to be very careful and never say the truth, beat around the bush, so to speak, you know, and compromise your preaching, you'll get nowhere. Nowhere. You think you're being accepted? We will never be accepted. I don't think you'll ever be accepted, frankly speaking. You're living in the kingdom of Kamsa. Kamsa never accepts Krishna's devotees. You should not expect to be accepted. This is the Kali Yuga, and people are very heavy materialists. They're demons. They're sworn to unclean activities. So don't, you know, what is the question of compromising with such people? They're already declaring war on us, so we might as well just go ahead and say, okay, we're going to fight. And that's what actually we were in that move. We're going to fight. We agree to accept the fight. And therefore, once you agree to accept the fight, you arm yourself fully, and you come out with your strongest weapons. You don't just talk, you know, diplomacy. Once the battle is on, diplomacy is finished, then you just come out with all the weapons. So Sankirtan is like that. And then we start to make devotees. And you know, the person who was in charge of that party, Vishnujan at that time, he had his 8 men. And he said, look, we got one bus and there's already enough people on it. You see, the cook was a person who came to Germany for some time. What was his name? With an S.
Yeah.
I forget, but he came after a while. A big guy, yeah. He came and spent some time in Germany. But anyway, so... you know, Vishnujan said it's not possible. But the first person I made, he had about $1,000. I said, look, if you take this man, you get $1,000. He said, well, okay, we'll take one more man. And each time Krishna sent the next 3-4 people, they all had, you know, $1,000, $1,500. Then we went, one man we made up in Boston, he had stocks, 5 bank accounts, and he had a car, a motorcycle. You know, and Vishnujan was just saying, wow, okay. I said, well, we'll just get another bus. Don't worry about it. Then if we get another bus, who will lead that bus? You know, so then I said, well, we'll find someone to lead the bus. And gradually, within 1 year, you know, we got 6 buses, 40 big vans, and 150 devotees. And almost at least 100 of them were brand new devotees. At the end of the year, we had an initiation in Chicago. Prabhupada initiated 80 new devotees. 80 new devotees. I knew all Sankirtan devotees. And our Sankirtan was so well organized. Tridas Prabhu was also a part of it. He's sitting here, right here in front row. He was also on that party. It was so well organized that every day all the men would call up their bus from the vans to give their scores of their book distribution. And three times a week the buses would call our central headquarters and give their scores. And I was speaking to, you know, everyone all the time on the phone. And Prabhupada loved it. He said, this is transcendental management. I showed him the accounts. We had perfect accounting. He said, transcendental account books. He was so pleased. And I asked him, they wanted to know what should be the name of the party. Should it be called BBT Party or Radha Damodar Party? And I had chosen the name Radha Damodar Party because that was the name of a deities on the bus, and Prabhupada had stated the Radha Damodar Party. Prabhupada said, make it Radha Damodar Party. So he liked it so much. He was so happy. Actually, from the very beginning, when we first organized Sankirtan, many years before that, in 1968, as soon as Prabhupada saw Sankirtan Party, he became very happy with this. He said, I want this party to travel with me wherever I go. You see? That was the first time there was an actual Sankirtan party. Because other than that, occasionally devotees would go out from the temple on a Sunday and chant the Prabhupada. But we organized the first Sankirtan party every day going out and distributing literature. So Prabhupada said, now wherever I go, this party must go with me. He could immediately understand, this is it. This is what I want. So we would go and we would give out the books, and while we were distributing books, we would invite people to come to the program in the evening. And Prabhupada would be there. And wherever Prabhupada went, we went. We traveled with him. He gave so much importance to the Sankirtan party that when Jayananda was the temple president where we had our first Sankirtan party. So when Prabhupada got ready to travel, Jayananda went to Prabhupada and said, I want to join the Sankirtan party. He said, but you're the temple president. What will you do? Jayananda Prabhu said, I'll drive the van. I'll be their driver, but I want to go on the Sankirtan party. Prabhupada said, go. He took the temple president right out of the temple and put him as a driver on the Sankirtan party. He said, this is more important. So much importance was given.
Maharaj, back in those Ramadan days when you were preaching heavy, was everybody wearing dhoti and tilak?
Yes, we always wore the dhoti and tilak. We always wore dhoti and tilak. We were always out doing Sankirtan. But oh, on the book distributors, no, they were not wearing. Oh, no. No, Prabhupada had already told us that there was no need for that. The Harinam devotees wore the dhoti, but the book distributors were dressed in regular clothes.
Plain.
No, Prabhupada, we went through this so many times. People criticized, different leaders were writing Prabhupada, is this right? And Prabhupada, his main point was, what will distribute the maximum number of books? That should determine how you dress. Very practical. Said, whatever will distribute the maximum books, dress that way. And then he quoted the verse of Hiranyakasipu, that this, you know, beware of the Vaishnavas who come in disguise. Prabhupada said, it's going on. He said, this wearing of other clothing has been done since a long time. He said, we have precedent from the Bhagavatam. And he said it didn't stop Narada Muni from making Prahlad Maharaj a devotee. So wearing a disguise, after all, the message is going to come through.
Since we are in the history, I always was very curious to know how C.C. Radha Damodar came on the bus, you know. It is interesting.
The way is that the deities were originally brought for the Washington Temple. And at that time they came, they were made in Orissa. He's made of German silver. Damodar? No,
silver?
German silver. From Germany. And Radharani was made of Ashtadat. She's golden colored from 8 different metals. And so the deities were brought, and the first, actually they were brought, and it was decided that they had a traveling road show. You know, just like you have your Nityananda or Gauranga Bhajan bands. So they were put on a bus, a school bus. And because they had to tie them with ropes, Prabhupada said they should be called Radha Damodar. This is the reason they got the name Radha Damodar, because every day they would tie up the deity to the back of the, you know, of its altar, so the deity wouldn't fall back and forth. So gradually they traveled all around America, and Vishnujan, he had a... Then there was a big fire, and the bus burned, but the deities were unhurt. So then they bought a very nice Greyhound bus, which is like a first-class touring bus. And Vishnujan took a vow every day the deity must go out on the street to be seen by the public. You see, and he made a very nice arrangement for the deities. And every day the party would go out, rain or shine. He would go with 105 fever, he'd still do the deity worship. You know, he didn't care, he'd always worship them. Very devoted. And there are so many pastimes. People, one time we parked in a campground and we were doing the arti to the deity. So some campers were there, you know, and they looked through the front of the bus window and they saw these two little children, and we had this fire, you know, going like this, and they called the police that these weird people are torturing two children. And the police busted in the bus with their guns, you know, to see what was going on. We had to open the curtain to show them that this is our children, you know. And so many times, so many things happened in the bus. And Prabhupada liked, he traveled on the bus also. Yes, Prabhupada went on our bus once. He came on a number of times. He liked his deities very much. You'll see, you go to Vrindavan. When I was serving Prabhupada in the last year, I had these pictures that I would carry because I wasn't with the deities, so I carried the pictures. And sometimes I would show Prabhupada, and he had me keep the pictures near him. So if you see in Krishna Balaram's house of Prabhupada, next to Prabhupada, you'll see two pictures of metal deities that's running around. They're the same photos I used to show Prabhupada. Actually, all the photos in Prabhupada's house are the same photos. Prabhupada used to carry one photo of Radharas Bihari with him wherever he went, the deity of Bombay, because he had promised the deity that, you know, you just stand there and I'll build you a temple and then you'll sit down nicely. So because he hadn't finished the temple, he would carry the deity's picture. So he was always reminded that I have to finish this temple. The deity is waiting. So it's unusual. Radha Krishna deity is pushing the Sankirtan, but that is the way Radha Prabhupada proved. Who can be a better preacher than the glories of Krishna than Srimati Radharani? So what is wrong? She's the best of all preachers. Krishna can preach to everyone in Bhagavad Gita, but Radharani can preach to Krishna. So she's even a better preacher than Krishna. So nothing wrong to have Radha and Krishna on Sankirtan. Prabhupada proved. But all of our other buses had Gaurantan. In that big initiation ceremony, we also installed four sets of Gaurantan deities. Prabhupada loved it, the Sankirtan army. He was so happy. He saw such a big army. No, he really was happy about it. We were distributing so many books that I wrote a letter to Prabhupada complaining that we can't get the books fast enough. The BBT cannot keep up with our distribution. And we have, you know, we need more books, that they should please print more. And Prabhupada wrote me a letter back saying that, you know, the BBT cannot keep up with you, but you cannot keep up with me, because I am already on the five books ahead of what you're distributing. He said they can't publish and distribute, they can't even get the books ready as fast as I'm going. So he said it was a three-way competition. His translation, the BBT's publishing, and our distribution. He liked it very much. So this was our spirit, just like in the first Sankirtan party we had with Jayananda in San Francisco. Prabhupada was living four blocks away in a house from the temple. So he was living four blocks away. Prabhupada would come out of his house and we would be there, right? You want to get the mood of what it was like. This is the way the disciples were in the mood of worship for Guru. Now, we were out there playing the mridanga when Prabhupada would come out of the house. Prabhupada would get in the car, and by the time he went four blocks to the temple, we were in front of the temple playing the mridangas again. Prabhupada would go out. We would run so fast that we would beat the car. Of course, we told the driver to take a detour to give us a little extra time. But, you know, this was the mood. Very fired up. We had kirtans that were so big. When our party would come into the temples, you know, the kirtans were very powerful kirtans. Devotees went wild. Sometimes we had to pay the temples for damage. The devotees would do this special thing. They would, you know, they would run from one side of the temple to the other, and then they would jump off the wall of the temple. Just like the skateboarders, you know how they go up on the side of a wall. So we would run up the wall and then jump off of it. So one time they put a hole through the wall. It was a false wall, and they went right through the wall. And we used to auction off the prasadam. We started everyone with magazines, because these were all brand new devotees, and we were not in the airports. We only have our buses. So we started with magazines. Then I wanted to introduce big books, because Prabhupada always said big books are so much more important than the magazines. So I told him, every book you distribute, big book, you get one gulab jamun. But see, they didn't do 100 books. They could only do 5 or 6 books, so it was still within, you know, reason. But then gradually I had to give up that program, because they got so many books that people were getting intoxicated. And we used to auction off the Mahaprasadam. I would get all the Mahaprasadam, and then I would ask the devotees, you know, I would auction it off. I'd hold up the maha and I'd say, okay, how much Lakshmi is this, you know, that you promised me you're going to collect today? You can get this. And devotees would have, they would make a vow, all right, $300, you know, dollars. I'll do $300 for that, you know, big bowl of sweet rice. I'll do $350. And we'd write down the figures and then we'd give them the prasadam ahead of time. And they wouldn't come back until they had made that amount. And I would stay up every night. I cooked them different things, and you know, everybody would take rest by 11:30, 12, because they would go out. When the marathons came, we would just keep going until everybody made their promise, whatever time it was, and we didn't take rest till the last man came in. Then sleep 6 hours, do the morning program, and out. The kirtan, the chanting, japa was very intense, because everybody was in the bus, so I would keep the bus door locked. And it's just, you know, 20, 25 men. We would make so many devotees that we have to live 25 men in a bus. That's a lot of people to sleep in a bus. We had a stage where we would do our bhajan, so we would put the stage up inside the bus, and one row of men would sleep under the stage and one row on the bus. And I was always, you know, with all these bhaktas sleeping there, and you had to remember when you got up that there was a stage over your head. So everybody was like this, very enthused. And the party grew so big. That's some idea.
It seems that in the old times, the people on the street or in general were more spontaneous than nowadays.
But they are also in some other countries. It has its phases in each country. There are some parts of the world now where people will join you just as quickly. Just like we heard in Serbia, if you agree, how many people you can make devotees to? Thousands. If you wanted to, you could make thousands. So it goes like this in phases. Just like now, 10 years ago they found in Germany very difficult to distribute books. Now we have heard that when you go to Germany, people are sweet. So wait another 10 years, they'll be, you know, lining up to join. It goes in phases. It does go in phases. Everywhere will change. When the economy or different problems happen, fall, you know, when things get worse, then things will change. Everybody in Switzerland is, you know, keeping themselves fortified with money and other facilities, and they think, you know, we're impenetrable. But we know very well, nobody is impenetrable in the material world. So sooner or later the Swiss will, and then all those books they bought, then you'll need that farm, because you won't have anywhere to put them. There'll be so many people who will join. They have to join. They have to join, because they have got so many books. When everything starts going wrong, then they're going to think, where's that book I bought? Ah. And they'll dial this number here. Hello? Yes, yes, come down. They will talk to you. They'll join. It's just a matter of time. You should have faith in that point. Book distribution will create a revolution.
My name is Srila Prabhupada. I get an opportunity to give the Queen of England and the Pope of the Bhagavad Gita. But I want to know, if they don't read the book, is that displeasing to Srila Prabhupada?
Who got the book?
The Pope had visited Trinidad and Sankirtan.
The Pope?
Yes, and also the Queen visited.
Very good.
If they don't read the book, would I...
No, it doesn't matter. Answer? He gets some benefit. Prabhupada said, if they even touch the book, what to speak of reading, even if they just touch it, they get changed. There's benefit. Because when they touch with some respect. That's why when you give the person, one of the things a book distributor always does, what's one of the first things you do? Right? You put the book in their hands. Because when they're feeling the book, the weight of the book, they see the nice production, and they're hearing very good praise of the book. In their mind, somehow, they'll think favorably. That means they're praising Krishna. So as soon as they're doing that, Krishna will reciprocate. Oh, he's doing devotion. So the first thing we do, we put the book in their hand, and we let them feel this book. And we're always doing that. The person's holding it, and we're just... We're just keeping his hand there, encouraging him. Yes, do that, do that. Just like someone encourages a young child. Yes, do that, do that. We're encouraging them. Yes.
It was in this last limousine, and I to give respect to others, so I gave her a courtesy, and she allowed the car. Did she the car? That's the only way I could have.
There's always benefit. You should understand that all these things are means that there is great benefit for such persons. So, let us stop now. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sankirtan yajna ki. Gaur Premanandi. Iskan Guru Vrinda ki. Iskan Sankirtan devotees ki.